Thank you. We had the system consent, although we did have, first of all, we had a supplemental sheet which was mailed to you, and then also we had some additional questions from the board. So Michael Higgins is our staff person for this item right here. And probably the best bet would be to give the question.
Board questions? Mr. Daniels.
My interest in this was to talk about the high volume water sampling technique that's been applied here. The basic, I think it's really wonderful because one of the things that I'm concerned about are some of these chemicals that don't break down and that bioaccumulate, and the ability to even monitor them to the levels that they're required to be at is something of a challenge. So I'm glad to see that. I guess my basic question is, if this sounds as good as it looks, why can't we apply this to all of the dischargers throughout our whole region, since we make it a new policy? So is that feasible? What kind of schedule could that happen on? What kind of process? I understand that executive officer can change MRPs without forward direction, but so what might be a mechanism to do that outside the normal 5-10 year permit cycles that we have?
That is, Mr. Chairman, I'm Mike Higgins, area engineer, Santa Cruz County. Mr. Daniels, this is something that we've certainly got in mind, but we want to see the data from Santa Cruz. We have some data over the years that is inconclusive. We had some data from the city of Santa Barbara a few years ago, and recent data from Scotts Valley Water District, both of which violated their effluent limitations. On the other hand, preliminary data from the Santa Cruz sampling effort is finding, although I have to verify this, congeners of dioxin that are not the hazardous type. But certainly, what you mentioned, we have in mind, and it is entirely appropriate to go forward in that manner and extend this type of monitoring to other dischargers for the simple reason that this is the only way you can actually detect these chemical species at concentrations below their effluent limitation. Grab samples have reached, the analytical methods for grab samples have reached a point where you can get down pretty close to those concentrations. However, a grab sample is not really representative. And these two instances of 30-day monitoring events represents a huge step forward in gaining a representative sample. So that's another major benefit of this approach.
I think it's well worth our doing because some of these chlorinated hydrocarbons that we're talking about here, everything from DDT to dioxin is in that category. Particularly for ocean discharges, when they get down under the ocean in anaerobic conditions, some of the lifetimes are in thousands of centuries. And so it doesn't take much over the years to accumulate to become a real problem. We need to make sure that just doesn't happen. You can't measure the levels you need to have. You don't know whether you're meeting. So I'm very much encouraged by this. I encourage staff to keep on top of this and, when appropriate, consider moving this out, particularly for ocean discharges.
We agree with you completely with your assessment of the importance of looking at these species. It's essentially the discharge of these species is unacceptable, and that there should be no discharge of these species from anywhere insofar as we can prevent. So we certainly will keep on top. And I'd like to commend the city, if I may take this opportunity, Mr. Chairman. It was the city who developed this program and proposed it to us, and I merely facilitated it. So I'd really like to commend the city for stepping forward, because without them, we may not have been here where we are today in actually implementing this sort of monitoring into an MPDS permit.
Yeah, I'd love to second that just for myself. I think it's very creative and innovative, and I'm glad to see that happening. And thank you for doing it, because it's an important thing that all of us need to be concerned about. So thank you all.
We do have to be prepared for Mr. Wolfman. If you wish to address us,
just available for questions.
I'd like to just echo what Mr. Daniels has said. I routinely in my classes refer to the Santa Cruz treatment facility as a real model. There's so many dimensions on which you can point to it. I like to point to it as being a facility that's in the middle of an urban area. It seems to get along well with its neighbors. There's a lot of renewable energy that it's generated at the facility. Then there's this monitoring protocol. It's really pretty impressive. And then, not just because it's in my backyard.
No, I can second that, Dr. Press. The treatment plant at Santa Cruz is one of the best in our regions, if not one of the very best for the larger municipalities. They've taken advantage of advances in treatment plant design that allow them to achieve very low solids concentration by means, even though they're using trickling filters, which typically can't achieve such low solids concentrations. And they're realizing by using trickling filters the major advantages in reducing energy demand, which an activated sludge plant is highly energy demand. And also, a trickling filter is much more stable than an activated sludge plant, so it's really a good plant.
Thank you.
Any other board questions? Okay. Well, we do have a recommendation by staff.
I move the recommendation.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right. Let's have a vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Mr. Harris, thank you, Mr. Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.